Field of Flowers, written by Anita Nair and narrated by me, Prakash Raj. Four months have passed since that day. The furor on social media and TV channels has died. In this new India we live, there is a new crisis each day that sanctions forgetting. Is it only in my mind? Or do the early hours of September 15 feel like an open wound? A deep and festering laceration that refuses to heal. Farmers are laying siege to Delhi. They want the government to repeal the new farm laws. The greatest organized revolt by farmers in the history of mankind is how someone referred to it. I should be with my fellow farmers, but I am no longer the man I once was. I am a hollowed out shell. I cannot face the water cannon directed to my chest, or walk through the tear gas, or leap over barricades that the police are using to push the farmers back. How easy it would be to forget what was done to a girl. Yes, I cannot be there. I must remember to keep alive the horror of what happened. For to forget would be as much a sin as a crime committed. When I left my farm by the Yamuna, I wanted to flee as far as I could from everything that was familiar and reminded me of what had happened in the Field of Flowers. I rode my bullet west to Dwaraka and then east to Puri. I headed southwest to Udupi and then east to Srirangam. But I found no peace at all. I came to Kerala on a whim. They say that when Parashurama slaughtered all the Kshatriyas 21 times and filled 5 large lakes with their blood, he threw his axe into the sea and from that emerged a narrow strip of land. Perhaps in this very same narrow strip of land that is Kerala, the rage and guilt in me would be tempered down. I had seen photographs of the backwaters and beaches, the houseboats and toddy shops. But I wasn't a tourist. I wasn't a pilgrim either. So I avoided all the well-known temples and went down whichever road beckoned. Until one day I was riding through the small town of Angadipuram and to my left I saw a temple up a gentle hillock. I parked my bullet and went seeking the deity of the temple. The stone steps, carved many centuries ago, were smooth and worn out. There weren't too many pilgrims and the ones there ignored me. A security guard peeled himself off a bench near the steps and gestured to me to take my shirt off. No pants, only dhoti, he said. I cringed at the thought of having to walk bare-bodied with a strip of cloth around my waist. I turned to leave the temple. As I was going down the steps, it hit me like someone had bludgeoned me. A girl had been stripped naked and left for the world to find her. I stumbled. Such was the import of that realization. My eyes welled up in shame and guilt. How long could I run away from what I didn't want to confront? My part in what had happened to a girl. Adjacent to the temple was a shop where I bought a mundu. The shopkeeper showed me how to tie it around my waist. I left my clothes there and walked bare-chested into the temple. I felt naked and vulnerable. The deity was a goddess, and it seemed divine ordination that I bear myself to her. This would be my first penance. I prayed that she would find it in her heart to offer me some respite. In the past few months, I haven't stayed in one place for more than 3 days. But something about this goddess and temple makes me want to be here. The shopkeeper had recommended a lodge near the temple. And just this evening it occurred to me that I've been here for a month now. I spend most of my day in the temple grounds. Each dawn when I wake up, it is to see the girl sit on a turtle-shaped stone. She stares at me with fear and sorrow as she calls out, Bhaiyaji, where were you? Why did they do this to me? Each day I try a new penance. I have rolled around the temple. I have walked around it foot by foot. I have hopped on one leg. I have fasted for days together. I haven't touched a drop of alcohol. I am running out of penances, but the goddess hasn't relented. Each day when I stand with folded hands and closed eyes before the deity hewn from glistening black stone, I wait to hear a voice that would comfort me with, but you didn't do anything.